Thank you, Brother Waterhouse. We do have an amazing Savior, amen. Pastor texted this morning right before Sunday school and says, I envy the fact that you get to preach to the people of North Valley Baptist Church, and that's how much he wants to be here. But we're glad he can be away, amen. And so I'm glad he's able to take some time with family, but he will be here next Sunday and get to hear him again unless the Lord comes back. Then Brother Shilton will be preaching next Sunday. Love you, brother. Amen. Turn your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 12. And if you are visiting, you do owe it to yourself to come back next Sunday, please, and hear our pastor preach the Word of God. Mark? That's what I want. Okay, Mark. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, it's after Genesis. Everything's after Genesis, amen. Mark chapter 12, I'll start reading in verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do ask that you would help us. I realize that, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. I can't preach with power, and we can't listen with the Holy Spirit's understanding unless you help us. And I do ask that you would help us. I pray, Father, for us Christians that we'll be encouraged in the things of the Lord. And then, Father, for those here that perhaps are not sure of heaven, they have a doubt whether they're going to heaven or not, may this be the day that they trust you as Savior. Ask your blessing, dear Lord, on the preaching of the Word of God. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Very nervous. Sorry. But that's a good thing, amen, because it is a great responsibility to come before people to preach the Word of God. That's why when pastor comes here every Sunday, don't ever forget that. That's a weight of responsibility on him to preach the Word of God faithfully as a man of God should. And so pray for me, amen, as I preach, and pray that God would meet with us today. There was a conversation between a scribe and the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you read all of chapter 12 and some of the verses preceding that, you'll find that other men asked Jesus questions as well. The first time, they questioned the authority of Jesus. The day before, Jesus went to the temple. I think some of us are familiar with that story. Jesus went into the temple and overthrew the money changers' table and the seats of those that sold doves. And God told them, you know, God's house is a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. And basically, they were making money out of the things of God and ripping people off. And he says, you know what? You should not do this. And Jesus threw away the tables and overturned the tables and took out the seats of the money changers. And the chief priests and scribes and elders the next day caught up with Jesus and question his authority. Turn with me, please, to Mark 11. You're right there, Mark chapter 11 and verse 27. So Jesus did this the day before, and now they find him. They finally caught up with Jesus the next day. And they come again to Jerusalem, Mark 11, 27. And as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? I mean, the things you did yesterday, who are you? How dare you do those things? By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? In Mark chapter 12 and verse 14, this man now questions his honesty. Let's read that first. Mark 12 verse 14. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man. By the way, they were setting him up. Well, they thought they were. Well, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute or tax money to Caesar or not? He said, do you pay your taxes? Okay, they're trying to imply that Jesus did not practice what he preached, that he did not have integrity, and therefore the people had no need then to listen to what he had to say. I mean, he had no integrity. But Jesus turned their question upside down. Mark 12, verse 15. Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. You got to be smarter than that, amen? You're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the God who created our minds. They were trying to outwit Jesus. Good luck with that. And so he turned that upside down. There was a scribe listening to all this. A scribe is one who copied the word of God so it can be passed on to the next generation. And because of that, they were very knowledgeable about what God said in his word. They were teachers of the law. So he's listening to all these questions and Jesus Christ answering them. And upon hearing Jesus answer the last question, he asked the question himself. Mark 12, 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered the question, and the scribe replied back. And by the way, his reply was very thoughtful. The word discreet there, and with his mind saying. So he didn't just blurt out an answer. He was actually thinking about what he was saying. And he actually pondered what Jesus said before answering back. Let's read verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God. By the way, how does he know that? He's a scribe. He knows what the Bible says. Okay, so when he heard Jesus' answer, says, you know what? That's a good answer. Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. He was understanding what Jesus was trying to get at. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly with the mind, saying, that's what that word means, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. That's our text this morning. Jesus said to the scribe, I see that you're answering discreetly. You're thinking about what you're saying. And based on your knowledge of the Word of God, I think you're getting it. You're not just repeating what someone said. you actually thought about your reply. Then Jesus tells the scribe, you're not far from the kingdom of God. When it comes to going to heaven, you're not far at all. The thought this morning is this: not far is still not close enough. Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. I mean, you have good understanding, and I think you're about to get it. You're getting it, but you're not far, and you're not far. But you know what? Not far is still not close enough. Not far is still not close enough. And not far is still not close enough when going to heaven. This scribe thought about his answer. He was familiar with the Word of God. He was very meticulous in trying to preserve God's Word. He sought to learn the Word of God so that he could teach others what God said. But Jesus says, you know what? You're not far. You're not far. But you're still not close enough. You see, the scribe understood that keeping of the ordinances, the burnt sacrifice and offerings were not enough. There was something else worth more than that. Let's read again verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, now notice what it says, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It says there's something more to those. By the way, he was right. There's something more to the sacrifices and the ordinance, the burnt offerings. But you know what? He's still not close enough. He says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from realizing you're on your way to heaven, but you're still not close enough. You see, God says that the keeping of the law, the commandments of God, is not how one gets to heaven. I understand that most of us here are probably saved. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven. But I would imagine a crowd this size, there'll be some who actually don't know that. Well, listen to what the Savior says. You may know some things about the Bible, but you realize, you know what, there's something more about this thing. And Jesus says, yes. You see, you know, it's not the keeping of the law that gets us saved. See, you know, good works never earned anyone a place in heaven. You see, all the sacrifice, this is what the scribe was not understanding. All the sacrifices and all the burnt offerings were pointing to the last sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You see, that's what it was. You know, there's something more to those sacrifices. Yes, there is. Those sacrifices pointed to the Savior. Romans 3:19, now we know that what things over the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law, and guys, men, it's okay to say amen. All right, let's make this a Baptist church now. Help me out. And the Bible says. And the Bible says. There you go. All right, come on now. You got to help the preacher out so I can help you out. Amen. And so the Bible says that the law, the commandments, was given us to show us how much of a sinner we really are. That's the purpose of the law. The law was not given so that you can obey the law and go to heaven one day. No, the purpose of the law was to show you how bad we really are. None of us can obey the law. That's the whole point of the law. The commandments that were given to show us that there's no salvation in our own efforts. Everybody that strived to follow everything that the God said he commanded, guess what? Failed miserably. Paul said this in Romans 17, and the commandments which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. He says, man, here's something that should give me life, but he says, I found it unto death. Why is that? For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy. There's nothing wrong with the law. And the commandment holy and just and good. What's then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. The law is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. But you don't go to heaven by keeping the law. Actually, the law condemns us because we realize that the law shows us how sinful we really are. Paul later on says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Why was that? Because he was face to face with the perfect standard of a holy God. And when he saw that, he says, "You know what? I can't stand to that. I'm unworthy. I can't do that." Nothing wrong with the commandments, but the commandments show us how bad we really are in the sight of God. Salvation is not in keeping the law. The law reveals our need for a Savior. You see, Jesus said to the scribes, "Yes, there's more to those burnt offerings and there's more to those sacrifices. Those sacrifices only point to the real sacrifice for sin, and that is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. There's more to it. You're close. You're not far. But not too far is still not close enough. It doesn't get us in heaven. See, you can get baptized all you want to try to get to heaven. But baptism only points to salvation. Baptism is not part of salvation. The thief on the cross never got baptized, but Jesus said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." You're going to be in my presence today. Why was that? Because he looked at Jesus and believed the claim. By the way, you know, there was a heading on the cross: Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Messiah. He was the Messiah. And the thief on the cross believed that, and he got saved. You see, you can try to fulfill all the sacraments and try to live a good life, but there's still something missing. There's still an emptiness, a nagging that maybe all our works are not good enough. And let me tell you what God says. All our works are not good enough. There's no work that we can do that can get us to heaven. Say, "Brother Pusin, but man, that destroys my belief system." Well, probably. If you're here and saying, "You know what? I hope I'm good enough to go to heaven." Let me tell you what the Bible says. There is none good. No, not one. You're not going to go to heaven because you're good enough. Nobody is good enough. We are all sinners. The law was given so that we can understand we're not good enough. So if you're here and you say, "You know what? I hope my church attendance, I hope my being here, I hope the money I put on the offering plate, I hope my good life will get me to heaven." Let me tell you something. It won't. None of our works will take us to heaven. You can get baptized and do all the sacraments you want. And do that, but there's always a voice telling us, "You know what? Maybe it's not enough." Better listen to that voice, because that's God telling us it's not through good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then he says this: "Not of works, lest any man should boast." God says nobody's going to go to heaven and brag. Man, that'd be a pain, wouldn't it? You go to heaven and everybody's bragging why they're there? I mean, good night. Leave me alone. Yeah, so you're good. So what? No, it's not going to be that way in heaven. Actually, when we get to heaven, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, we're not going to be bragging how good we are when we get to heaven. You know, but that's what's going to happen if salvation is through good works. If it's through good works, and you say, "You know what, let's compare notes. So how'd you get here? What did you do? How about you? What did you do?" It's not what we did. It's what he did. On the cross, on Calvary, he died, the Bible says, for our sins. Is he trying to keep the commandments only shows us we need a Savior. And, by the way, if you're honest, you realize that, you know, even when you try your best, you still fail. That's just the way we are. That's our sin nature. That's why God says you can never go to heaven by your works. We fail. That's why we need a Savior. That's what the law was about, to point us to the Savior. So trying to keep the commandments only shows us we need a Savior. The scribe knew that. He says, you know what? There's something more about these burnt sacrifices. There's something more about this offering. Jesus says, you're not far. But not far is not close enough. By the way, the scribe knew the word of God was true. Mark chapter 12, verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there's one God, there's none other but he. He knew the word of God was true. We were talking in a soul winning meeting yesterday. Oh, I can't do that, can I? All right. It's all right. I'll do it. It's hot. Sorry. I'm one of those, I think about work and I sweat. I don't have to work. Just think about it. I'm already sweating. Amen. But he knew the word of God was true. I was saying we were in a soul winning meeting, and you know, we were wondering and said, you know what, how is it you can show someone from the word of God how to go to heaven and they still would not accept Christ as Savior? How is that? You show it and you show it as clearly as the word of God can present it, and then we say, well, now do you know, you understand, you know, you're a sinner. Because we're sinners, we deserve to die and go to hell. But you don't have to, because Jesus already paid for all our sins. And all you have to do is put your faith 100% in Jesus Christ, and he will forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. Would you like to ask Jesus Christ as your Savior? No. What? No! The problem is not the Bible. The problem is that person refuses to believe the word of God. At least the scribe says, you know what? God, he know Jesus was God, but he says, Master, thou sayest the truth. At least he believed the Bible is the truth. But you know what? Not far is still not close enough. By the way, there's no way a person can ever go to heaven without believing God's word is true. There's no way. You come up with all your reasons and all that, but you know what? If you don't believe the Bible is the word of God without error, and you believe what God says about his son, you can't go to heaven. The scribe at least believed what Jesus said was true. He was not far from heaven, but not close enough. You see, the Bible was given to us so that we can know how to go to heaven. We must believe what God says, or you won't make it to heaven. 1 John 5:13, these things, the Bible, have I written unto you that believe on the same name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And so if you're here and say, you know what, I hope I'm going to heaven, you know, the Bible says you can actually know for sure that you're going to heaven. I said, what? Who can know that? God said it. And God says you can know that. How? Through the word of God. If you just believe what God said and take him up on his promise, God says, I'll save you and give you eternal life. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Salvation is in Jesus. So you look it up in the word of God and you find reference to Christ. Guess what? You're not that far to salvation. But not far is still not close enough. It's good that you believe the Bible is God's word, but we must believe what God said about Jesus in his word. See, I know that we are all sinners because the Bible says we are. I know that we deserve to spend eternity in hell because of our sins, because the Bible says we do. I know that Jesus died on the cross for all our sins because the Bible says he did. I know that only Jesus can give me eternal life and forgiveness of all my sins because the Bible says it is so. We can't go to heaven and not believe what the Bible says about Jesus and salvation. See, we are born again only through faith in God's word. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's good that the scribe believed God's word to be true. You're not far, but you're still not close enough. Not far from heaven, but not close enough. We must believe and accept what the Bible says about Jesus. By the way, other religions believe in Jesus. Islam teaches that Jesus was a prophet. No, Jesus is God. Some religions teach that Jesus did the down payment and you do the rest of the payment for your salvation. No, Jesus paid it all. A lot of religions believe in Jesus. Some say he was a good man. No, he was the Son of God. You see, it's not just any Jesus. It's the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God. Jesus is God the Son. Jesus is the Lamb of God, God's perfect sacrifice for our sin. Jesus is the only Savior. That's the Jesus you need to believe in. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way. He didn't say, I am one of the ways. You didn't just go to heaven any other way. No, sir. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You know who told us about Jesus? God did. God says, if we won't believe the record that God gave of his Son, we can't be saved. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's important what you believe about Jesus. He's not just any prophet. He is God, the Son, the Lamb of God, the only Savior. You know, Brother Poussin, people go to heaven because they're Baptists, right? No, sir. Nobody goes to heaven because of their religion or their denomination. People go to heaven by realizing they need a Savior, and there's only one Savior provided by God for us, and that Savior was God himself, born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, died on the cross, not because he was guilty, but because he was bearing all our sins. And God the Father punished him, put him in a grave 3 days later. Ho! Rose again. You can't kill God, amen. He rose again. Jesus says, son, I'm glad you believe the Bible is truth. That's good. You're not far, but you're not close enough. You must believe in Jesus of the Bible, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Not far, but not close enough. Trying to keep the commandments only shows us we need a Savior. He knew the Word of God was true. You know, the scribe was just a few feet from Jesus. He was that close. He could have reached out and touched the Lord Jesus. Here he was, talking to the Savior himself, the one who could forgive him and give him eternal life. And yet, he was still not close enough. Right there, face to face, in his area, and yet, not close enough. You might be here this morning. Perhaps you've been here several weeks now, maybe months, maybe even years. But you still haven't settled this matter of heaven. There's still that nagging in your heart that says, you know what? I'm really not sure that if I die, I would go to heaven. Oh, you're so close. You're around God's people, around the preaching of the Word of God. Close, but not close enough. You're hearing the word of God preached, the praises of Jesus being sung and proclaimed, and at times it's almost as if you can almost touch the presence of God because it's so real. But you know what? It being in this church is not going to make you a Christian. How sad it would be for people to have been in a church like this that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and every time an invitation was given to ask Jesus Christ as your Savior, you refused. How sad that would be. Not far, but not close enough. You know, a person can go straight to hell from this Baptist church. It's not being close to God's people that makes you a Christian. It's not the fact that we hang around church that makes us a child of God. I'm glad that you're not far, but you know what? Until you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone to take you to heaven and forget about your good works and relying on your good works and thinking that's going to give you merit as far as entering heaven, until you do that, you're so close, but still too far. Are you going to heaven when you die? If you have any doubts about that matter, get it settled today. I mean, what's stopping you? Want to be sad for all eternity? To suffer in the place called hell? And remember these words. You're not far. You were not far, but you were not close enough. So, but Barpusan, if I do that, people think I'm saved. And I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation, but you know what? Forget about what people think. I mean, good night, it's heaven and hell. What would they say? Who cares what people say? Amen. It's what God wants you to do. And again, I'm not trying to doubt your salvation, but you know what? If there's something in there and say, you know what? I don't think you're saved. Get it settled today. Get it right with God today. Settle it once and for all. If you have any doubts about the matter, don't put it off another day. Oh, man, don't be listening throughout all eternity. I was so close, so close, so close. And yet I was not close enough because I just didn't want to embarrass myself. Go down the aisle. I'd rather do that, embarrass myself, than spend eternity in the lake of fire. No one is worth you going to hell. No one is. It doesn't matter what people say. No one in this world will ever go to heaven through their good works. Believing God's word is great. I'm glad. You're not far, but you're not close enough. We must believe in what God's word says about Jesus and accept him as our personal Savior. By the way, one way you show that you're truly trusting Christ as Savior is get baptized. I don't understand. Somebody said, you know what? I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Okay, show me. Why don't you obey God's command to identify with him in the death and burial of resurrection Jesus Christ? That's one way I can tell. I don't know what's in the heart. Only God knows that, but you know what? If you're saved, what's stopping you from getting baptized? Show me you're saved. You're not going to go to heaven because you get baptized, but you know what? Getting baptized shows people that, you know what? I'm trusting Christ. I'm trusting Christ. So what's stopping you from getting baptized? I still don't get that. I remember when Bruce Lai led me to the Lord invitation time years ago. He said, okay, now you're saved. Jesus wants you to be baptized. I said, you know what? If that's what Jesus wants me to do, because he saved me, I'm going to do it. Not because I wanted to go to heaven, but because I was so thankful that Jesus Christ would save my soul. If that's all that Jesus wants me to do, you know what? What's so hard about it? I'll get baptized. I'll show the world that Jesus is my Savior. Don't put it off another day. If you're here, you're close. Get all the way in. I've been talking mostly to those perhaps that are not saved. Let me say something quickly to those who are Christians. There's a parallel story I covered a little bit in Sunday school about this truth of not far, but not close enough. God told Abraham to get out of his land, leave family, everything he had, and go to Canaan. He ended up in Haran. Haran, close to Canaan, but it wasn't close enough. It was still out of the will of God. Maybe you're here, you know God wants you to do something to serve Him. Well, you know, over a person, I'll just hang around church. I'll just hang around the ministry so I can be close. But maybe God wants you to go further and actually do something for Christ, a specific ministry. Maybe it's Bible college. Oh, I'll just hang around the things of God. You're not far, but you're still not close enough. There's nothing better than doing the perfect will of God for your life. You're here. God wants you here. Close, but not close enough. Why don't you just go all the way in for Jesus? Just do what He wants you to do. Serve Him the way He wants you to serve Him. Obey Him and do what's right. Perhaps you're doing something. You say, you know what? God doesn't want me to do that. And, you know, God wants this standard in my life, but I'm just right here. You know what? You're close. Go all the way in. Just go all the way in and get where God wants you to be. The scribe said, well, Master, you answered well. And then he gave him the reason and says, Jesus says, you know, you're not far from the kingdom of God, but you're still not close enough. Maybe you're here. You know you're not saved. Not far, though, but you're still not all the way in. Why don't you get saved today? Put your faith fully on Jesus Christ. 100%. In a moment, the pianist will play. We'll have an invitation. That's an invite for those who are not saved to come and trust Christ as their Savior. Perhaps you're a child of God, and you know the will of God is here. But you say, you know, God, I just don't want to do that. I'll stay close, not far, but just not close enough. Why don't you just go all the way in as well and do what God wants you to do? Would you stand, please, and with our heads bowed and eyes closed,